Turn your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, you got to have your ears on. How many times did Jesus say, he that hath an ear? He that hath an ear. What was the next statement? Let him hear. In other words, just because you got two ears don't mean you're listening. Right? Right. He that hath an ear. In other words, if you're blessed that you're not deaf, start listening. That's good. That's good. That's the first sermon. Sermon number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's good to be in God's house. It seems like we have been down in our crowd for the last 3 or 4 months, and so I just wanted to make an announcement. We have kicked everybody out that we're going to kick out, and now everybody is welcome, okay? So we have plenty of space for them, and you're welcome to be here today. You didn't get a letter to not come back, right? Anybody get the letter not to come back, and they came anyway? Nobody got the letter? Okay, you're included. We want you to be here every time the doors are open. All right, just want to make that clear. And if you don't know me very well, I'm full of it. Okay. Hey, shut up, Larry. I wasn't joking when I said that to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, all right, so we're listening now, right? All right, we're going to start reading verse 10. You're witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Well, that was a great witness there by the leadership, Paul and the others. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted. Exhorted them and comforted them. And charged every one of you as a father doth his children. We charged you. What did we do? What did we say? That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Boy, isn't that great? That you would walk worthy of God. You know, we do believe that once you are saved, you are eternally saved, right? Amen. You can say amen there if you believe it. If you don't believe that, you come on, I'll try to get you straightened out on that. But just because we are, Romans 6 tells us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the word? God forbid, he said. No. No, and it is our goal and our heart as a believer, as one who has committed their heart to Christ and wants to follow Jesus Christ, it is our heart, verse 12, the first part, that ye would walk worthy of God. Can we ever be as worthy as we should be? No, no way. No possible way we could ever be worthy of the great salvation that Christ provided at the cross to give us when we received him as our Savior. No way we could ever be worthy. But it should be our heart's desire that we would live for Christ and honor Christ and be worthy as we can be for him. Now, is that not good? Is that not really the way it is? That's the way it is, right? As Christians, we should strive to walk worthy and be the best we can be for the honor and glory of Christ. And guess what? Satan is against that taking place. And the forces of the world and even your flesh is the enemy of that. So it is the Christian challenge that we would walk and live worthy as possible to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the key to all this? What's the key to this? You know what? I found it in verse 13. Here's the key to the whole issue. He says this, for this cause, right? For this cause, to bring this to pass. He said, for this cause, also we thank we God without ceasing. He said, I'm always thanking God for this. Because, here it is, when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He gave us some great doctrinal truth in verse 13. He says, the reason we have seen you have a desire to live for Christ, the reason we have been honored in your presence, the reason for these things is, and I thank God for this, he says, that when you heard the word of God. And by the way, at that time, when they heard the word of God, it was from the mouth of the preacher, the prophet. There wasn't a written New Testament at the time. There was an Old Testament, but no New Testament at the time. So all they had to go with was the word of the preacher prophet that was there. And so it was written down what they said. They wrote it down. And from those writings, the Holy Spirit pulled together the New Testament, and we have it today. So we don't only have to listen to the preaching of the preacher prophet. We can open a Bible and read it for ourselves. And then the preacher preaches it and expounds upon it, tries to illustrate it, tries to get us to learn more about it. He said, for this cause, verse 13, when you received the word of God, you received it not from us as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And then he uses a word that I want you to underline, which the word is effectually. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The truth there is this: if you are a Christian, you have the privilege of the Holy Spirit living in you, and he will take the word of God and he will effectually use it to bring you into becoming what God wants you to be. It effectually worketh in you that believeth. Not only believeth the word, but believeth on Christ as your Savior is the most important part of that whole thought. Now, if you were to ask a successful person the secret of their success, and let me tell you to do that. Let me encourage you to learn that when you get to be with someone that you respect and you feel like they have achieved things in life, and maybe you want to achieve some of the things that they achieved, you shut your mouth and open your ears. That's hard to do for some of us. But you shut your mouth and open your ears and you ask the right questions. And the question is this: can you tell me the secret? What is something that I need to know, something that you think really made an impact on your life and made an impact on your career, made an impact on where you are, whatever you might be asking about? And I'm going to tell you what that person do if they're going to be honest with you. And they're not always going to be honest with you, because most people don't trust that vital information to just anyone. They don't cast their pearls before the swine. But it will go back to an event, an activity, a habit, a book that person got a hold of at some times, and their life spun off of that and made a great difference. It changed their life. Now, while we're here, we're going to have a little show of hands here. How many say, preacher, I can identify with that. There is a time and a place in my life that I can point back to, and I have not forgotten that God got a hold of my life, or my life was changed in some way that made me and brought me to where I am, and where I am now is a lot better than where I thought I would be at this point. Raise your hand. Look at that. Now, I would say you would also be able to say that on the negative side too, that people can go back to something they did in their life that made a negative impact on their life. You know, I say you could do that. So as we think about that, ask the person, what is the key to that success? They will point back to an event, an activity, a habit, or a book, or a person that touched your life. Sometimes it's a speaker, sometimes it's an individual. But somebody made an impact on their life, and it made a lasting effect. Well, Paul is relating the word of God to the Thessalonians in this same way. That it was their receiving the word of God, how they believed and received God's word, that changed their life. Now, I will share with you, that is the experience that I had. My pastor took me out by myself one night to the Cream Castle in Blytheville, Arkansas. We went to the Cream Castle, and he was buying that night, and it was anything I wanted. And I got to thinking, what's up? What's up? You know, I just got right with God about 3 weeks ago, and now I'm with the pastor, and we're going to Blytheville, Arkansas, and here we are together. And he had a really, really good talk. He didn't talk down to me, but he had a real good talk, and he asked the right questions, and he was getting me to give the answers, and from that day, I left with a habit of reading my Bible and studying it that changed my life. And I may not be much, but you wouldn't want to see where I'd be without God's Word. God's Word has made a tremendous impact on my life, and I'm sure there are many here today that would testify that God's Word has made a tremendous impact on their life, either through the preaching of the Word, the study of God's Word, or just a personal Bible study that you spent time in the Word. It's made a tremendous impact on your life. Let's do a show of hands here, just as a witness, as a testimony. Raise your hand if that is true. Now, you know that group is smaller than the other group, right? That should be a lesson to you, especially if you're a young person. A young person is anyone below 50. That age seemed to be climbing for some reason with me. I don't know why. But young people are 50 now. They look like they're 20. But listen, the Bible makes a difference. God speaks to us through His Word. It's the most important thing in our life to form us into what we should be, and it's what the Holy Spirit uses to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You need to study, memorize, spend time in God's Word. You can trust it. You can depend on it. It's to us from God Himself. 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 says it's inspired by God, given to us by God. You want to hear what God has to say. You need to be hearing what God says through the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 says that we can trust it. It's trustworthy. We can depend on it. It's always true. It's forever true. It never changes. It's always relevant, always appropriate. You can depend on the Word of God. Over in 1 Peter 1, it's called a seed. You can plant the seed in your heart, and that seed will grow fruit after its kind. If you put pornography in your heart, it will grow fruit after its kind. If you put a mathematical formula in your heart, it will grow fruit after its kind. If you put the Word of God, it will grow positive fruit in your life after its time kind. You need the Bible in your life. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible is called a sword. It's a sword of the Spirit. And what you're doing when you're studying God's Word and trying to learn the concepts of what God is saying, you're giving the Spirit of God within you the Word, the powerful sword He needs to do the surgeries and perform the necessary things in your life to conform you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in James, it's called a mirror. Hey, I looked in the mirror this morning, and I actually shaved. I know it don't look like I ever need to shave. I got that young face of a 20-year-old. Hey, but I had to shave this morning. I was looking in the mirror so that I could see what I needed to do. And you know, I did the best with what I got to work with. How'd you do this morning? But the Bible is like that. It's a mirror. We look into it. It doesn't show us their sins and that sin and that sin. It shows me my sin if I look into that mirror correctly. I don't look in that mirror just see the sins of the Edomites and the Hivites and the New Salemites. I want to find my sin in that thing. And it's a book that will reveal what I need to see. Now, the Bible is also called in the book of Jeremiah a hammer. A hammer. Man, there's some tough things in some of our lives, and it takes a hammer to break a brick. It takes a hammer to break a rock, and God's Word is a powerful book that will break the things in your life that need to be broken. Over in 1 Peter, it's called the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word for the baby that needs to be fed so it can exist and grow to the place that it can eat meat. And then that baby, as it grows up to be able to eat meat, it eats the meat of the Word. And if you're a Christian, it's got some manna in it. Hey, how many of you like banana pudding? Amen. Well, this book right here has manna pudding in it, and it'll feed you, sustain you, and give you the things you need to live the Christian life. Now, the Bible is a powerful book. It changes lives. What does it do? Does it change your shoes? Does it change your socks? Does it pay your electric bill? Reading the Bible, will it pay my rent? Will it make my house payment? No, it will do something much more important than that. It will change your mind and change your heart. See, do you realize what your problem is? You realize what your problem is? Your problem is you. Your problem is you. God has placed all those other issues out there, and you have run into them. You've run into those obstacles. And the reason you keep running into them obstacles is because you are who you are. And who you are is never going to change until you start receiving the Word of God and becoming the person God wants you to be. It's in Romans chapter 12, the second verse, where be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When I'm preaching, I hope I'm preaching the Word of God, because if I'm just preaching what I think, I'm not preaching anything that'll make a difference in your life. But if I'm preaching the Word of God, then if you're receiving it in good ground, as you should be receiving it, it'll make a difference in your life, because it'll change the way you're thinking. It will change your mind. And listen, don't ever make yourself the authority over the Bible. Okay, a lot of people do that. You listen to me real careful. Listen to me real careful now. What the devil wants you to believe, what the world might want you to believe, is that you are the authority over the Bible, and you decide what you want to believe, and you decide what you don't want to believe about the Bible. That's a recipe for disaster. You need to make up your mind that God's Word has the authority over you. And yes, you are to read it and use your mind and decide what it says. But you're not free to reject what it says and say, oh, that's archaic, that's old-fashioned, that doesn't apply to today, that has no bearing on my life whatsoever. Listen, the reason you're in trouble right now is because you have not given the Bible the authority in your life that it deserves. That's why your morals have fallen. That's why there's compromise in your life. That's why there's confusion, because you have made yourself the final authority rather than the Word of God the final authority. Paul emphasizes that in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, also in Acts chapter 17, verse 2, and 20, and on we can go. Make sure you are submitting yourself to the authority of the Word of God. It's a powerful book that will change your mind and change your heart. But you've got to give it precedence over your will and say, it is the power, it is the authority. Now, we're saved by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that it reveals our condition, and it does. It brings conviction, and it does. And it brings a conversion to our life. We are saved by the Word of God. We are secured by the Word of God. As you read the Word after you're saved, you begin to grow in your understanding and your grasp of truth, and you are sure and made more sure of knowing where you stand with God. As you read God's Word, it secures us, and it's a source of the spiritual food that we need to sustain us in the Christian life. In the Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 2, I want to turn there with me. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, I want you to see what Paul's saying to the Colossian Christians in chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6, he says this. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay, I got to stop. I'm sorry. Commercial time. I hear people all the time say, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? I don't go to church. You read your Bible? No, I don't read my Bible. I don't even have a Bible. So you're a Christian? Okay, I don't doubt that. Okay, tell me about your experience. Well, when I was 8 years old, I rode a bus to church, and we got all baptized. We all got baptized. So you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, come on. I don't find that in the Bible. Listen, I find security of the believer all through the Bible. I find once you are a savior, forever saved. I find that all through the Bible. But you know what I don't find? I don't find people making a head decision for Jesus Christ to go through the formula without getting founded in it. He said, as you, notice what he said in that verse. He said, as you have received. Did you ever receive him? See, that's the question. It wasn't that you believed. The devils believe, yet they tremble. Everybody believes in God. That's why we use the term atheist, because they're denying that there is a God. Everybody believes in God, but believing in God will not take you to heaven. Believing in God may cause you to spend eternity in a place of suffering, of torment. You may spend eternity in hell. Devils believe, yet tremble. If you're still at the trembling stage, you have not received Christ as your Savior. If you're still trembling, if you don't have any confidence, you need to come forward today and you need to get this settled. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Hey, I get this all the time. Oh, is that person a Christian? Oh, yeah, they're Christian. Oh, yeah, they told me they was. Well, I can tell you anything in the world. I can sell you some things. You want me to sell you? Man, let me just find out how much money we got in the crowd, and I got some things I'd like to sell. You hear what I'm saying? You can be deceived. There's no need to be deceived, but you can be. And if you're deceived, it's your own fault because you have not searched the Scripture to find the reality of where you really stand. So if you're saved, there was a time you received Jesus Christ. It's St. John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let me tell you how to get saved, by the way. You get saved by, first of all, you hear the gospel. You hear the truth. You know that you're not right. And then you hear the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. You hear the gospel that Jesus loves you, that God sent his Son to die for you. You hear that gospel. Here's how you get saved. You say, I will receive him as my Lord and Savior. Not just believe on him. You take him and he takes you. It's as clear as that. Have you ever received Christ? I don't mean have you ever taken the Lord's Supper or communion or mass or anything like that. That's just formalism thing. That's just practices. Some right, some wrong. I'm talking about in your heart, has there ever been a time that you have received Jesus as your Lord? You say, all right, I get the picture. Here's where you may be today. And you need to think through this, what I'm just painting this picture up. All right, I got the picture. I got the picture. All right, I am a sinner. You got that? I want to be saved, so I am going to come to Jesus, and I'm going to ask him, and I'm going to accept him into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior, and I'm just not going to go through the prayer. I'm going to do this with my heart, and I'm going to be saved today. That's where faith kicks in. I encourage you to do that if you don't have confidence. But the apostle said here in our text, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Christ, I'm preaching every verse I look at today, I guess. Christ Jesus, the servant. Oh, he was. Christ Jesus, the distant deity out there. Christ Jesus, the one who is absent. No. As you have received Christ Jesus, what's the next two words? The Lord. It's up there, isn't it? No, it's not. We got the wrong one there. As you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Can I tell you why I got saved? Can I tell you why I got saved? I knew I was going to hell. And you know who I really knew was in charge of the whole thing? The Lord. The Lord. I was going to hell. I was fearing. Oh, preacher, you're not supposed to teach people to fear. Oh, God is a feel-good God that makes me feel good all the time. What God are you talking about? Who, where did he come from? Who made him up? I know a holy God that's so holy I can't even come into his presence without the blood of Christ washing my sins away. That's a God I know about that's really God. Oh, but preacher, we don't need to talk about that fearing God today because that don't go over. It better get into. It better not just go over. It better get into. The psalmist said in chapter 36, verse 1, he says, I'm going to just summarize what he says. He says, the reason people live like they do is related to how they fear or don't fear God. Psalm 36, 1. He said, I looked and I was taught that the problem is they don't fear God. Now listen to me. I just don't know how you can escape the concept of fearing God in the process of your salvation. If you was popping your bubble gum all the way down the aisle and oh yeah, oh, I'd already believe all that. Oh yeah, I remember being on the hospital bed. Oh yeah, God saved me. Right, oh yeah, 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 I got it all. Yeah, all I need to do is just get baptized. I got all that down. You didn't have all that down. And if you did, it didn't help you. As you have received Christ Jesus, what's the two words? The Lord. So walk ye in him. Walk it. Live it, he said. Now, look at the next verse. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now let's bring, you got, shoot that up there. Shoot the verse 7 of Colossians 2, second chapter. He said, rooted. What does it mean to be rooted? Okay, you got that. And built up. What does it mean to be built up? What does it mean? Answer the question. What does it mean to be rooted? What does it mean to be built up? Got that? Built up, man. Work out with the weights. All right, so being rooted and built up in him. And what's the word established? Let me use the word established. Established. You know what word established means when it comes to attending church? It means we don't have to look for you when church time comes. Unless you're out of town, unless you're working, unless you're something like that. You're around. You're found. You're not just out gallivanting around, acting, all right, preacher, be good. Be kind. I always ask the Lord, Lord, help me be kind today when I preach. All right, I got it. I'm back. Yeah. Frustrations of being a pastor. All right, so if you're established, you're not working, you're not on a family vacation. I'm giving you excuses for that, okay? But you're just not, when I come back to that thought, it just really wants to rile up in me again. Just not sitting around just thinking, I'm a Christian, I don't have to go to church, I don't do blah, 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 blah. That don't fit in the Christian life. I hear people say, I'm a Christian, don't have to go to church. Okay, we got that. You're Christian and you don't have to go. I got you. But some reason I keep going. And I know I don't have to. You got it? Can I go on? That's a good point to say amen right there. Because we ain't going to get out of here until I go on. How many said amen? Amen. Everybody wants to go home today sometime. I knew I'd get an agreement on that one, all right? So we're saved by the Word of God. We're secured by the Word of God. We're sealed by the Word of God. We're growing in the Word of God. We're being rooted and built up and established in the faith and have been, as we have been taught. What have we been taught? We've been taught the Word of God. It's all about my relationship with God's Word. That's it. A survey was done. I don't have a lot of time for surveys today. But a survey was done, and 64% of people was surveyed. Do you read the Bible? Hey, and they had more joy, they had more peace, they had more contentment, they had purpose in their life, they had direction. 81% are the peace, and 92% came up, they had purpose in their life. Because I'm talking about people that just were studying the Word of God. 92% of them had more confidence in their life, meant something. On and on we could go. The Bible adds years. The Bible adds years to your life, but the Bible adds life to your years too. We're sanctified by the Word of God. And that's a long word for us today. But sanctified means that it changes our morals. You can go backwards. It changes the way we are in morality. When we are sanctified by the Word of God, then we don't do the things we used to do. We don't do the things that the world's out there doing. We say no to things. We have a conviction that we follow the Word of God. We have morals. And when we violate our morals, we are convicted. I don't know how many people I've had mad at me over the years for preaching the Word of God and preaching truth, and they got mad at me because they had violated their morals. Like I'm the blame? Like the standard would be the blame? The Bible would be the blame? No. No, blame the devil. He's the one who lied to you to start with. But the Bible is a powerful book that changes our life, and it sanctifies us. It adds morals to our life. It straightens us out. It straightens us out. Now, I could read to you John 17:17-19. I don't have a lot of time to do that, but the Bible just makes a difference in who you are, what you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and all the rest. And it's more than acknowledging an intellectual agreement. It's receiving in the heart what God says. Well, these people honored the Word. They honored the Word. They received the Word. They believed the Word. And there was results. It effectually worked in they that believe. I want to encourage you sometimes when you get in your Bible study to look at that word effectual. It changes. Spiritual development. Changes the way we look at things. That book will have an effectual work in a believer if they will honor it, receive it, and believe it. And I want to leave here today with a challenge. That you're going to quit speed reading the Bible. You're going to study the Word. You're going to hear it preach and receive. That's what I'm asking for. A commitment on your part to surrender to what the Word of God teaches and to follow Christ as you follow the Word. We're not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about me telling you what to do. I'm telling you this, that the Spirit of God has the power and authority in your life. And you're going to surrender to the Word of God so that it can have an effectual work in your life. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has a plan for your life. The devil has a plan for your life. He wants to separate you from believers. He wants to separate you from your pastor. He wants to separate you from hearing the Word. He doesn't want you to go to church, and if you go, he doesn't want you to listen. And he wants you to have a stand over in a corner attitude about it all. That's, that, That's part of the devil's plan. I won't tell you the ugly part because that's the pretty part. He's a thief. He's a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't let him into your life. And he don't come in a red suit. He comes in as thoughts, individuals, concepts. That's the way he comes in. Now, here's what we need to do as a Christian. We need to surrender our life today to believing and honoring and receiving what God says in this book. I want us to bow our heads. Quietly stand to our feet.